We're going to pivot now to talk about employment law. Patrick Dolan joins us now from Siegel and Dolan. Patrick, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks to be here again.
You feeling
John.
Good?
Nice. Yep, good.
Employment law, always busy and fun. I mean, the new year must mark a time for a lot of new, well, I don't know about new laws, although there are new
there
laws
are.
At our new
yeah,
place.
And we'll talk about a few of them. You know, people are in the midst of some job changes, and that tends to happen sort of naturally at year's end, either, you know, something they planned for or didn't plan for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there are a lot of changes. A few new laws that we'll talk about. There's one proposal from the FTC with regard to banning non-competes, which we'll get in. That's just proposed.
For so let's countrywide?
Countrywide, yes.
Whoa.
But let's not get too excited
okay.
yet.
Okay.
Because that's just a proposed rule by the FTC, which has to go through a lot of public commentary. So that's not, it's not like it's going to happen next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that there's different, you know, non-competes. We could get into the weeds about
yeah,
this here
will.
In Illinois about the percentage. But do you mind yeah. if we take a quick call? Because Vanessa's been waiting for a long time.
Absolutely.
She called in the last hour. Vanessa, you're on WGN. Thank you so much for holding.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you so much.
So broad strokes.
I'll try to be brief.
Yeah, we don't want to, like, you know, name any businesses here on the air
don't.
Live. So
no.
just broad strokes,
don't get us
Vanessa.
In trouble, Vanessa.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. For the past 10 years, I've been a volunteer for a local group of veterans, the four veteran posts in my community under one roof. It's an unusual 501c19 charitable organization called Veteran Support Group. For the past 3 years, they elected to pay me through this fund, and the four posts contribute to it. In this past year, I was advised that probably by this past December, they would redefine and limit my job. And there are some other things going on that I won't go into detail.
Right.
What happened was on the last Tuesday of September, my supervisor voluntarily resigned to gracefully dissolve this veteran support group. The next day, I decided to leave early, and I started packing my belongings. I was approached by two post officers, and they accused me of taking post property. What it was, it's a binder I've built for 35 years of all my business and community contacts.
So your stuff that you had built through the business?
Yeah, yeah. And I even elected they could have anything military-related, take out the business cards from the different veterans organizations, but the rest is mine. And I set the bag down, walked away, went back to my station. At the end of my workday, I came and the bag was gone. And the two people were still in the room. I chose not to confront them because one of them is a big kind of threatening guy.
Okay.
And I left for the day. So that's where the story ends. I called two post commanders and asked for their help to just give a call or go over and try to get my binder for me. They both tried and were refused.
Okay.
I called the police to file a police report. So that's where it stands now, as of now. But the defamation of character comes in because that evening they took that binder and emailed all my contacts a letter saying,
wow.
based on the events of that day, totally falsifying,
right.
This is to announce that Vanessa is no longer affiliated.
Vanessa, hold on 1 second.
Today,
don't give out your last names. Don't read the whole letter.
You're
fine.
Name.
You're fine. You're good. I'm going to put you on hold for a second because we got the news
okay.
coming up. I at least want to get part of your answer. Let's broaden this out, Patrick.
Yep, let's do it.
When you work at a place, you gather information. Information through this business, is that your information at the end of the day, or is it just depend?
You know, it depends on what we're talking about. Some of it is the individual's information. Most of it actually is not. And there's issues with confidentiality, what's exactly in the information. If it's your, like, resume or stuff like that, anything personal, it's yours. But anything, any kind of work product that you created while you were working for the company, it's really not yours.
Even the contacts that you make with
yeah.
people.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And so that becomes a discussion, though, with the company you're leaving. Okay, what can I use? What can I not? I need this to try to get a new job, you know, something like that. And usually it's a reasonable communication. But I would say err on the side of don't take things that are arguably company property.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have any claims you want to assert down the road, they'll put that back on you,
mm-hmm.
and it'll make it that much more difficult.
The defamation thing is a whole other
right.
issue, right?
It's a whole other issue. So if, like, being told publicly, a company telling other companies or prospective employers publicly that you're terminated, that's not defamatory. If, however, a company is saying that you engage in illegal behavior by perhaps taking this property that the company claims was not yours, that could be defamation. Defamation, we deal with that all the time in the workplace. And if it's a false statement that's harmful to the individual, you may have a defamation claim.
Okay, so Vanessa You're going to call this number. Patrick, where can people reach you at with Siegel and Bolin?
I'm happy to talk to Vanessa. 312-651-4851 is my direct line at Siegel and Dolan.
Can you give it one more time?
312-651-4851.
We'll check with Vanessa during the news to make sure she got that. And we appreciate the phone call. We really do. These are important issues to people. I can hear the emotion in Vanessa's voice, who dedicated a lot of time to a place, feels that someone did her wrong. Maybe you have a similar story. Broad strokes, 312-981-7200. And we'll dive into more with Patrick Dolan after the news on WGN. All right, 720 WGN. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And the rest of our show will be about employment law. We've already dove into a little bit with Patrick Dolan from Siegel and Dolan. Let me give out that website, by the way, Patrick. MSiegelLaw.com. S-I-E-G-E-A. Nope. I just messed that up. Sorry, Patrick.
People almost do that all the time.
Siegel. Yeah. You know how it's spelled. S-I-E-G-E-L-L. E-L, and then law.com.
Yep, there you go.
I'll get it eventually. We'll try that again a little later, Patrick. All right, new laws. We sort of teased at the FTC what they may dive into, this idea of no non-competes whatsoever. But this could be a multi-year process that would likely end up in the courts, too.
Yeah, it probably will. So let's just set aside the Illinois new laws for a while and look at the FTC. So they proposed a rule, which Biden has talked about for a while, that will ban non-competes, period. Now, it's got to go through a public, and this was literally last Thursday, 2 days ago. Okay. So it has to go through a period of public commentary. Then there's a whole other process that has to happen for the proposed rule to actually pass. And you know it's going to be challenged in court by a lot of business businesses and business-related entities. You know, I don't know how it's going to end, mm-hmm. and if it even passes ultimately, and the FTC is ruled to be allowed to prohibit non-competes, it's not even going to be till 2024 anyway.
Okay.
So it's not like it's going to happen in a couple months.
And can the FTC do this on their own, or do they have to go through Congress?
Yeah, they can. Well, they think they can do this on their own.
Okay.
And so their authority will be challenged.
Yeah, I'm sure, for sure. Okay, let's dive in.
And with the makeup with the Supreme Court,
yeah, right.
I think it's a great idea for a number of reasons to ban non-competes. But I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Right. And we'll just wait and see. But yep. you'll keep us posted.
Yes.
What about Illinois new laws for employment?
So there are a couple of new laws. One law called the Child Bereavement Leave Act.
Oh, yeah. I saw this.
Yeah. Is now the Family Bereavement Leave Act. And that requires an employer to provide up to 2 weeks of unpaid leave. And the reason the change in the name is because what's covered has been broadened. It's no longer just the death of your child. It's the death of other people in your family, spouse, domestic partner, grandmother, grandfather. It's broadened as to who's included. And also, the leave can be for things like a miscarriage,
mm-hmm.
Efforts to become pregnant that were unsuccessful, maybe an adoption that didn't go through. So the laws actually expanded to protect people who want to take leave for a number of things related to bereavement.
Right, because, you know, emotions are sometimes just as high for some of the things you mentioned as a death would
absolutely.
Be, right, for certain
absolutely.
People. And so this is unpaid leave, meaning
yep.
basically you're guaranteed you can go away for 2 weeks, come back, that job is still yours.
Yes.
No matter what.
Yep. In like the FMLA or any other leave-based law, your job, your compensation, your benefits are all protected during that time.
Okay. What else you got for us for new Illinois laws?
So there's a new law called the Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair Act, known as the Crown Act.
Oh, yeah.
It amends the Illinois Human Rights Act to specifically prohibit discrimination based on traits associated with race, like hair texture, hairstyles such as braids, locks, and twists.
Natural hair that a lot
natural,
of
that's
black
right.
Americans have been fighting for,
yes.
like do not discriminate based on this hair that is who I am.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so now the Illinois Human Rights Act has been amended to protect those circumstances.
Okay, that seems like a good one.
Yep.
Any other ones that you have for us? You're scrolling through the list.
Yeah, so there's one more. It's not a really big deal, but there's a law that requires 1 day of rest per 7 days week worked. Now it used to be the law was per calendar week.
Okay.
But what companies would do is put you half in one calendar week and half in the other.
Like Tuesday through Saturday, yes. Sunday through Thursday, yes. And then that'd be 10 or 11 days in a row.
It would be. And so now it's consecutive days to address that. So if you've worked 7 consecutive days, you can't work 7 consecutive days, no matter which calendar week it's in, you need a day off.
You're allowed to, or you are required to take one?
No, you cannot be forced to work 7 days straight.
Right. So it's not necessarily a paid day off. It's just they cannot punish you if you say, I cannot work that day. There can be no retribution for that.
Yes, and they must give you a day of rest.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
I don't think that's a small thing. I actually think a lot of people could benefit from that because there are, you're right.
Well, there was a huge loophole as to how it was implemented by companies.
100%. Yeah. They'd have you go Monday through Saturday and Sunday through Friday, and that's like 11 days.
Right.
I imagine that's huge for a lot of people. Does that apply? That doesn't apply to independent contractors, I imagine.
It actually does.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of a lot of truck drivers out there as well who are notorious for being under given breaks that are not long enough for people, and that's been a fight for a lot of people.
Yeah, it has been.
All right, interesting stuff.
So those are three of the newest laws in Illinois that I think address concerns that several people have in the workplace.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to talk about the idea about looking for a new job but having that non-compete. We talked about non-competes earlier. In Illinois, I know that it's salary-based is part of it, right? If you're paid a certain amount, they cannot force a non-compete on you. But let's say you have a non-compete. Let's say it would hold up or it seems enforceable and you want to go look for another job. What is the best course of action for that?
You start out by determining whether the non-compete is enforceable. And it has to be reasonable with regard to time, 1 year to 1 or 2 years. It has to be reasonable in terms of scope, like what exactly can't you do? In other words, it can't be just any job at a new employer. It has to be something that's same or similar to what you did before. And there's also a geographic scope. If the company you work for is only in Illinois or the Midwest, it can't be a national non-compete. You can't be prohibited from working anywhere. So there's a certain test that you have to sort of, think about in terms of how this applies to me. What am I trying to do? So here's the problem with non-competes, though. It's safest to assume they're enforceable, but a lot of times they're not enforceable as written or as applied to that person who wants to get another job. So it has a real chilling effect on that person.
Right.
And companies know that. It dissuades them from looking for work. And that's, that's anti-competitive. That tends to dampen down wages. I have a lot of folks who come to me and say, I want to start a company. That's a huge problem for them because they can't because of a non-compete.
Mm.
And then the practical problem is, what do you do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't want to fight the company necessarily, but you want your next job. Or you want to start a company, and you need to make a living.
And you don't want to assume they're just not going to enforce it.
Don't assume that. That's not a safe assumption, yeah.
Right, because I go on internet forums sometimes, people are like, they're not going to do anything about it. It's not worth it for them. It may be.
So oftentimes my first question is, has this company enforced a non-compete in any similar situation in your workplace before?
Can you look that up?
Well, a lot of people know. I can. If they've been sued, I can generally find it. But enforcement is not all the time being sued. It's a cease and desist letter, a really nasty letter, which says, I'm going to tell your new employer that you have this non-compete. I'm going to, and they're going to terminate you, and there's going to be a bunch of damages if you continue to work there because you're taking our clients.
Wait, they threaten your new job?
Yeah, they do.
So you've started at that new job.
Yeah.
You said bye-bye to the old one, and they send a letter to your new job saying you're under a non-compete for them.
Yep.
They're not trying to sue the new job. They're just trying to show them that, you're not a model employee and that there's potential hiccups along the way?
Yeah, and what companies sometimes do is try to drive a wedge between you and your new employer.
Right.
Because then the new employer is like, oh, wait a minute, we didn't talk about this, which frankly, I tell people all the time, you really should talk with your new employer about that.
Hey, I have this.
Surprises are bad.
Right.
I have this. Let's talk about whether it's enforceable. What can I do in your company? What can't I do? Will you defend me if they come after me? These are all bases that you really want to cover before you make that leap. But sometimes people come to me having not had any of those conversations. Starting point. Let's talk to the new employer. Let's show them the non-compete. you know, they get this letter and they're like, well, wait a minute, you know. But before you jump to just the, let's just terminate the new employee, there are lots of ways to, frankly, deal with the old employer to see what the concern really is. So it's not a lost cause if you don't raise it, although you really should with the new employer. It just makes it a lot more difficult and, frankly, much more uncomfortable to get that notice that the new employer has no knowledge of.
Is that so? I mean, and part of it's got to be why they send a new letter to your new employee or employer is, I mean, they want word to get back to your fellow coworkers, they your do. Former coworkers.
That goes that back to the effect. Dissuasion thing, yeah. Because even if the non-compete is technically unenforceable as written, they're trying to enforce it anyway, oftentimes.
This is interesting stuff. So when should people reach out to you, perhaps, at Siegel & Dolan? Is it, hey, I'm thinking about leaving this company.
That's the best time.
Okay.
So oftentimes someone will say, right, I'm going to leave my current employer. Here's my non-compete or my non-solicit of clients, right? Will you please tell me if it's enforceable? And here's where I want to go. This is what the company does. This is the job I had before. This is the job I want to get next. And I work through that process with them, telling them whether it's enforceable or not as to their specific situation. And I'll work with the new company and say, listen, you know, my person's really excited to work for you. Let's just talk about the non-compete, what they can do, you know, what your concerns are as an employer. But we can work through this and we can work this out.
I'd just be impressed as a boss that someone had a lawyer. Seriously, like if I had someone I wanted to hire and they came to me and they're like, oh, I'm going to have you talk to my employment lawyer. I'd be like, boy, this person's serious about what they want to do. I mean, it does add some weight in any situation to have a lawyer with you.
Well, you know what? There are ways to solve that issue and to make it work when you're transitioning jobs.
For sure. We'll do more with Patrick Dolan in just a bit. MSiegelLaw.com. MSiegelLaw.com. I cleaned my glasses and I was able to read that a little bit easier, Patrick. How do you want people to call you, by the way? What's a good phone number to reach you
at? Yeah, they can call my direct line, 312-651-4851.
Say it one more time, a little slower.
Oh, that's okay. 312-651-4851.
Okay, we're getting some other questions on the text line about non-competes, 312-981-7200, about anything related to employment law. More with Patrick after this on WGN. Patrick Dolan from Siegel and Dolan. This is a great text, Patrick. 847 says, wow, this is a great show. I've never listened at this time. I love that. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that. And we're normally on from 1 to 3 on Saturdays. Sometimes that changes, though. Of course, we have Northwestern basketball. We have football and Blackhawks, too, sometimes interferes. I believe next Saturday we're on at this time as well. Sometimes we're on Sundays. We move around a little bit. We try and keep you posted. But, yeah, that's what this show's all about. I ask a lot of dumb questions to really smart people. And we are going to continue that trend, Patrick. Actually, the 847, in addition to liking the show, said, isn't a non-compete over a time period, like in the financial sector, it is like 3 months. And I think what they're saying is maybe it's 3 months from when you leave a job, you can't go get another one. Is that sometimes the addendum at the end? Or are there some that are more binding longer than that? Like you can't work at another company for XYZ number of years.
Yeah. So non-competes are always for a specific length of time. Most are 1 or 2 years. The caveat, though, is that it has to protect a legitimate business interest. So if there's really nothing to protect for that full year, it could be just a couple of months, 3 months, 6 months, something like that. But in the agreement, you're going to get a length of time. And that's, you know, what's supposed to be enforceable.
And we should mention now there is a salary line of demarcation, right?
There is. So Illinois passed a law within the past year or two that says if you make under $75,000 a year, a non-compete cannot be enforced against you. They also passed a similar law which says if you make under $45,000 a year, you cannot have a non-solicitation be enforced against you.
Whoa, what's the difference? I don't know what that is.
So a non-solicit is you, when you leave going to a new employer, soliciting the business from former clients. Your former employer.
Say, hey, come on over here.
Yeah, come on over. Or employees you used to work with, same thing. You can't solicit them.
Wait, that's not allowed?
It's not if you have a non-solicit. No, it's not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So most non-
Isn't that a free speech violation?
No, not generally speaking. Yeah, no, it's an enforceable provision. And so most non-competes are coupled, actually, with a non-solicit of employees or customers/clients.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I better look in my past, see if I've ever violated that.
But you know what?
You can't say, like, so let's just make sure we got this right. Under 45,000 cannot do that. You cannot have a non-solicit.
Non-solicit.
Okay. So if you make over 45,000, you go to somewhere else and you're like, hey, Billy, this place is great. You should come here. No good. If I was told ahead of time, I can't do that.
Yeah, if you have an enforceable non-solicit, and what companies sometimes do is slip the word hire in, so it's not just a non-solicit, but a no-hire clause, and that's even more difficult. Because solicit, you could be like, well, I didn't solicit them.
Yeah, how do you prove that?
Yeah, there was a posting, they came to the job, I had nothing to do with it.
Just because they're my roommate, just because they're my spouse and I know everything about them, I had nothing to do with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a more difficult situation if there's an actual no hire clause, which they try to put in there too sometimes.
To actually restrict hiring from
You literally can't have a direct or indirect part in the hiring of somebody you used to work with when you're at a new job.
Hard to prove, but if they want to, they can try.
Yeah, but remember, it goes back to those cease and desist letters and that dissuasion effort.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to deal with that. You know, as someone going from one job to another, you don't want to have to deal with your former company, frankly, intervening with your new job.
Make me feel better, Patrick. What percentage of people are like me that doesn't read every part of your agreement, doesn't read every part of the employment handbook, has very little knowledge of what happens if they leave or their rights when they leave? A lot of people are like this, right?
A lot of people are like that.
Yeah. Like 90%? Make me feel better.
Probably.
But that's something that people should take into their own, right? Like, we have access to these documents. We can talk to someone before we sign them. This is something we really have to take ownership of.
You know what? I think what happens is people are so excited with the new job, and they don't want to ruffle the feathers or negotiate or something like that with their new employer too hard about terms and conditions,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. So they just don't read it that closely for reasons that I understand. But the problem is, your job ends. It's going to end.
Right. Or they read it and go, but I don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Right. But I don't want to make a big deal about that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things to do to make your situation better going in that really don't, they're not, you know, aggressive actions or anything like that. And they will make the terms and conditions of your job better. And you'll know what your rights and obligations are when you leave. So there are certain steps that I don't think are a big deal at all that can really help you.
Right. 773 says, how do old jobs know about the new job if you don't tell them? I guess it depends on the industry and people that are common amongst different offices, et cetera.
Yeah, and I get that a lot. You know, that's exactly how. And they do know. And, you know, in your former colleague who you thought was your friend can, you know, might say this with, hey, you know, my buddy went over to this company. And they're like, oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it really, you know, most companies find out if you go to a competitor.
Yeah.
Say that.
That's got to be industry specific, too. I'm sure some people work in industries where you're like, how would they ever know?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
in
it
some
really
industries,
depends.
You're like, like in the media world. Everyone will know.
Everyone will know, yeah. But you're right. Some it's just very unlikely.
Yeah, for sure.
Very unlikely.
I do want to leave time for this. We got about 3 minutes left. If I've been laid off as a result of a reduction in force, what are my rights? And so that's a specific type of layoff that you have different rights than if you were to have messed something up on your own end, right?
Yeah, so there's typically a notice obligation if it's a large group layoff that allows you more time to find a job. Okay, there's an act that protects you and gives you more time. And there are obligations that the company has with regard to benefits or maybe continued comp that are in their policies that apply to large group layoffs as opposed to just an individual leaving. So you sort of benefit oftentimes from the collective being laid off versus you just trying to negotiate your own separation agreement.
When you say you have more time to look for a job, do you mean that the company will
notice,
pay you longer or no?
Well, yeah, they have an additional notice requirement. They can't just fire you today on a Friday and
in
say
mass.
This is your last day, right? They have to give you more time notice. And so during that time, you'll get paid, but you can use it to find another job.
Is the devil in the details in terms of what makes it a large force reduction, or could it be, hey, it was two of us today, as opposed to just the one of us?
It could be a small group. It could be a small group that constitutes a reduction in force that will trigger those obligations, yes.
Okay. So, boy, that seems surprising to me, because I bet there's people out there, boy, I'm thinking of my industry, where it's a Friday and 5% of the people are let go for, hey, we got to make better payroll or whatever it is. We just can't afford you all. and they have no idea that they might be.
It could be a group layoff. It could be a group layoff.
Is that a company by company policy, or are there state and federal?
There are laws that will determine whether your layoff constitutes a quote group layoff, where you will be allowed certain rights, etc.
So you're like this perfectly nice guy, right, Patrick? You're like very,
that's nice,
chill, you're relaxing, you're very charming. And I just want to know, like, if someone just has like a question like that, like, hey, I was laid off, I have no idea, can they just call you and, and your firm and ask, right?
Oh, no, I'm happy to talk with them.
I think people are afraid to call a lawyer because they're like, well, the clock's going to start running.
No, people call me all the time and just ask my opinion about a situation. And no, I'm just happy to help them.
And how can people call you?
My direct line is probably the best, 312-651-4851. Before we go,
please,
I want to wish my daughter Isabel a happy 21st birthday. She's our youngest, and I think our older siblings are going to take her out on the town tonight.
Oh, all right.
Whether she likes it or not, I think she's going.
Happy birthday. Isabel, you said?
Isabel, yeah.
Isabel, 21 years old. Okay, give me the number one more time.
312-651-4851.
It's msiegellaw.com. MSIEGELlaw.com. You can also Google Patrick Dolan Lawyer. That's how I found the website, too.
Yep.
Google's a really powerful tool. Yep. I can give you 30 seconds for this question that just came in.
Go ahead.
Does HR protect the company or employee? 30 seconds, Patrick.
Oh, no, it's mostly the company. Okay. Don't be misled by that. They can be helpful, but they represent the company.
You didn't even need 30 seconds.
No.
You needed like 13 for that one.
I could have said it even longer.
I was going to say, little did you know I needed 30 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. That's great stuff. Patrick, it's great to chat with you. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Thanks, John. Thank
you. Yeah, for sure. That's Patrick Dolan again, msiegellaw.com. I agree with all the texters that this was an interesting show. This was a good one. We got assault weapons we chatted about, employment law. Mike Leonard had some interesting stuff. We'll do it all again next week. We're going to pivot now to talk about employment law. Patrick Dolan joins us now from Siegel & Dolan. Patrick, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks to be here again,
John. Feeling good?
Nice. Yep, good.
Employment law, always busy and fun. I mean, the new year must mark a time for a lot of new, well, I don't know about new laws, although there are new laws that are new places.
And we'll talk about a few of them. You know, people are in the midst of some job changes, and that tends to happen sort of naturally at year's end, either, you know, something they planned for or didn't plan for.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there are a lot of changes. A few new laws that we'll talk about. There's one proposal from the FTC with regard to banning non-competes, which we'll get in. That's just proposed.
For so let's countrywide?
Countrywide, yes.
Whoa.
But let's not get too excited yet.
Okay.
Because that's just a proposed rule by the FTC, which has to go through a lot of public commentary. So that's not, it's not like it's going to happen next month.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that there's different, you know, non-competes. If we could get into the weeds about this here in Illinois about the percentage. But do you mind if we take a quick call? Because Vanessa's been waiting for a long time.
Absolutely.
She called in the last hour. Vanessa, you're on WGN. Thank you so much for holding.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you so much.
So broad strokes.
I'll try to be brief.
Yeah, we don't want to, like, you know, name any businesses here on the air live. So just broad strokes, Vanessa.
Don't get us in trouble,
Vanessa. Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. All right. For the past 10 years, I've been a volunteer for a local group of veterans, the four veteran posts in my community under one roof. It's an unusual 501c19 charitable organization called Veteran Support Group. For the past 3 years, they elected to pay me through this fund, and the four posts contribute to it. In this past year, I was advised that probably by this past December, they would redefine and limit my job. And there are some other things going on that I won't go into detail.
Right.
What happened was on the last Tuesday of September, my supervisor voluntarily resigned to gracefully dissolve this veteran support group. The next day, I decided to leave early, and I started packing my belongings. I was approached by two post officers, and they accused me of taking post property. What it was, it's a binder I've built for 35 years of all my business and community contacts.
So your stuff that you had built through the business?
Yeah, yeah. And I even elected they could have anything military-related, take out the business cards from the different veterans organizations, but the rest is mine. And I set the bag down, walked away, went back to my station. At the end of my workday, I came and the bag was gone. And the two people were still in the room. I chose not to confront them because one of them is a big kind of threatening guy.
Okay.
And I left for the day. So that's where the story ends. I called two post commanders and asked for their help to just give a call or go over and try to get my binder for me. They both tried and were refused.
Okay.
I called the police to file a police report. So that's where it stands now, as of now. But the defamation of character comes in because that evening they took that binder and emailed all my contacts a letter saying,
wow,
based on the events of that day, totally falsifying,
right,
this is to announce that Vanessa is no longer affiliated.
Vanessa, hold on one second. Today. Don't give out your last names. Don't read the whole letter.
No, you're fine.
You're fine. You're good. I'm gonna put you on hold for a second because we got the news coming up. I at least want to get part of your answer. Let's broaden this out, Patrick.
Yep, let's do it.
When you work at a place, you gather information through this business. Is that your information at the end of the day, or is it just depend?
You know, it depends on what we're talking about. Some of it is the individual's information. Most of it actually is not. And there's issues with confidentiality, what's exactly in the information. If it's your, like, resume or stuff like that, anything personal, it's yours. But anything, any kind of work product that you created while you were working for the company, it's really not yours.
Even the contacts that you make with people.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And so that becomes a discussion, though, with the company you're leaving. Okay, what can I use? What can I not? I need this to try to get a new job, you know, something like that. And usually it's a reasonable communication. But I would say err on the side of don't take things that are arguably company property.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have any claims you want to assert down the road, they'll put that back on you, mm-hmm, and it'll make it that much more difficult.
The defamation thing is a whole other issue, right?
It's a whole other issue. So if being told publicly, a company telling other companies or prospective employers publicly that you're terminated, that's not defamatory. If, however, a company is saying that you engage in illegal behavior by perhaps taking this property that the company claims was not yours, that could be defamation. Defamation, we deal with that all the time in the workplace, and if it's a false statement that's harmful to the individual, you may have a defamation claim.
Okay, so Vanessa, you're going to call this number. Patrick, where can people reach you at with Siegel and Bolin?
I'm happy to talk to Vanessa. 312-651-4851 is my direct line at Siegel and Dolan.
Can you give it one more time?
312-651-4851.
We'll check with Vanessa during the news to make sure she got that. And we appreciate the phone call. We really do. These are important issues to people. I can hear the emotion in Vanessa's voice, who dedicated a lot of time to a place, feels that someone did her wrong. Maybe you have a similar story. Broad strokes, 312-981-7200. And we'll dive into more with Patrick Dolan after the news on WGN. All right, 720 WGN. Let's get legal. Powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And the rest of our show will be about employment law. We've already dove into a little bit with Patrick Dolan from Siegel and Dolan. Let me give out that website, by the way, Patrick. MSiegelLaw.com. S-I-E-G-E-A. Nope. I just messed that up. Sorry, Patrick.
People almost do that all the time.
Siegel. Yeah. You know how it's spelled. S-I-E-G-E-L-L. E-L, and then law.com.
Yep, there you go.
I'll get it eventually. We'll try that again a little later, Patrick. All right, new laws. We sort of teased at the FTC what they may dive into, this idea of no non-competes whatsoever. But this could be a multi-year process that would likely end up in the courts, too.
Yeah, it probably will. So let's just set aside the Illinois new laws for a while and look at the FTC. So they proposed a rule, which Biden has talked about for a while, that will ban non-competes, period. Now, it's got to go through a public, and this was literally last Thursday, 2 days ago.
Okay.
So it has to go through a period of public commentary. Then there's a whole other process that has to happen for the proposed rule to actually pass. And you know it's going to be challenged in court by a lot of business businesses and business-related entities. You know, I don't know how it's going to end,
mm-hmm,
and if it even passes ultimately, and the FTC is ruled to be allowed to prohibit non-competes, it's not even going to be till 2024 anyway.
Okay.
So it's not like it's going to happen in a couple months.
And can the FTC do this on their own, or do they have to go through Congress?
Yeah, they can. Well, they think they can do this on their own.
Okay.
And so their authority will be challenged.
Yeah, I'm sure, for sure. Okay, let's dive in.
And with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, right.
I'm not... I think it's a great idea for a number of reasons to ban non-competes. But I'm not, you know, not going to hold my breath on that.
Right. And we'll just wait and see. But you'll keep us posted.
Yes.
What about Illinois new laws for employment?
So there are a couple of new laws. One law called the Child Bereavement Leave Act.
Oh, yeah. I saw this.
Yeah. Is now the Family Bereavement Leave Act. And that requires an employer to provide up to 2 weeks of unpaid leave. And the reason the change in the name is because what's covered has been broadened. It's no longer just the death of your child. It's the death of other people in your family, spouse, domestic partner, grandmother, grandfather. It's broadened as to who's included. And also, the leave can be for things like a miscarriage,
mm-hmm.
Efforts to become pregnant that were unsuccessful, maybe an adoption that didn't go through. So the laws actually expanded to protect people who want to take leave for a number of things related to bereavement.
Right, because, you know, emotions are sometimes just as high for some of the things you mentioned as a death would
absolutely.
Be, right, for certain
absolutely.
People. And so this is unpaid leave, meaning basically you're guaranteed you can go away for 2 weeks, come back, that job is still yours.
Yes.
No matter what.
Yep. And like the FMLA or any other leave-based law, your job, your compensation, your benefits are all protected during that time.
Okay. What else you got for us for new Illinois laws?
So there's a new law called the Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair Act, known as the Crown Act.
Oh, yeah.
It amends the Illinois Human Rights Act to specifically prohibit discrimination based on traits associated with race, like hair texture, hairstyles such as braids, locks, and twists.
Natural hair that a lot
of
black
right.
Americans have been fighting for.
Yes.
Like, do not discriminate based on this hair that is who I am.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so now the Illinois Human Rights Act has been amended to protect those circumstances.
Okay, that seems like a good one.
Yep.
Any other ones that you have for us? You're scrolling through the list.
Yeah, so there's one more. It's not a really big deal, but there's a law that requires 1 day of rest per 7 days worked. Now, it used to be the law was per calendar week.
Okay.
But what companies would do is put you half in one calendar week and half in the
like
other.
Like Tuesday through Saturday,
yes.
Sunday through Thursday,
yes.
And then that'd be 10 or 11 days in a row.
It would be. And so now it's consecutive days to address that. So if you've worked 7 consecutive days, you can't work 7 consecutive days, no matter which calendar week it's in, you need a day off.
You're allowed to, or you are required to take one?
No, you cannot be forced to work 7 days straight.
Right. So it's not necessarily a paid day off. It's just they cannot punish you if you say, I cannot work that day. There can be no retribution for that.
Yes, and they must give you a day of rest.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
I don't think that's a small thing. I actually think a lot of people could benefit from that because there are, you're right.
Well, there's a huge loophole as to how it was implemented by companies.
100%. Yeah. They'd have you go Monday through Saturday and Sunday through Friday, and that's like 11 days.
Right.
I imagine that's huge for a lot of people. Does that apply? That doesn't apply to independent contractors, I imagine,
though. Actually does.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of a lot of truck drivers out there as well who are notorious for being under given breaks that are not long enough for people, and that's been a fight for a lot of people.
Yeah, it has been.
All right, interesting stuff.
So those are three of the newest laws in Illinois that I think address concerns that several people have in the workplace.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we're going to talk about the idea about looking for a new job but having that non-compete. We talked about non-competes earlier. In Illinois, I know that salary based is part of it, right? If you're paid a certain amount, they cannot force a non-compete on you. But let's say you have a non-compete. Let's say it would hold up or it seems enforceable and you want to go look for another job. What is the best course of action for that?
You start out by determining whether the non-compete is enforceable. And it has to be reasonable with regard to time, 1 year to 1 or 2 years. It has to be reasonable in terms of scope, like what exactly can't you do? In other words, it can't be just any job at a new employer. It has to be something that's same or similar to what you did before. And there's also a geographic scope. If the company you work for is only in Illinois or the Midwest, it can't be a national non-compete. You can't be prohibited from working anywhere. So there's a certain test that you have to sort of, think about in terms of how this applies to me. What am I trying to do? So here's the problem with non-competes, though. it's safest to assume they're enforceable,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times they're not enforceable as written or as applied to that person who wants to get another job. So it has a real chilling effect on that person.
Right.
And companies know that. It dissuades them from looking for work. And that's, you know, that's anti-competitive. That tends to dampen down wages. I have a lot of folks who come to me and say, I want to start a company. That's a huge problem for them because they can't because of a non-compete.
Mm.
And then the practical problem is, what do you do about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You don't want to fight the company necessarily, but you want your next job. Or you want to start a company, and you need to make a living.
And you don't want to assume they're just not going to enforce it.
Don't assume that. That's not a safe assumption, yeah.
Right. Because I go on internet forums sometimes, people are like, eh. They're not going to do anything about it. It's not worth it for them. It may be.
So oftentimes my first question is, has this company enforced a non-compete in any similar situation in your workplace before?
Can you look that up?
Well, a lot of people know. I can. If they've been sued, I can generally find it. But enforcement is not all the time being sued. It's a cease and desist letter, a really nasty letter, which says, I'm going to tell your new employer that you have this non-compete. I'm going to, and they're going to terminate you, and there's going to be a bunch of damages if you continue to work there because you're taking
our
clients.
Wait, they threaten your new job?
Yeah, they do.
So you've started at that new job.
Yeah.
You said bye-bye to the old one, and they send a letter to your new job saying you're under a non-compete for them.
Yep.
Does it? They're not trying to sue the new job. They're just trying to show them that, what, you're not a model employee and that there's potential hiccups along the way?
Yeah, and what companies sometimes do is try to drive a wedge between you and your new employer.
Right.
Because then the new employer is like, oh, wait a minute, you know, we didn't talk about this, which frankly, I tell people all the time, you really should talk with your new employer about that.
Hey, I have this.
Surprises are bad.
Right.
You know, I have this. Let's talk about whether it's enforceable. What can I do in your company? What can't I do? Will you defend me if they come after me? These are all bases that you really want to cover before you make that leap. But sometimes people come to me having not had any of those conversations. Starting point. Let's talk to the new employer. Let's show them the non-compete. You know, they get this letter and they're like, well, wait a minute, you know, but before you jump to let's just terminate the new employee.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of ways to frankly deal with the old employer to see what the concern really is. So it's not a lost cause if you don't raise it, although you really should with the new employer. It just makes it a lot more difficult and frankly much more uncomfortable to get that notice that the new employer has no knowledge of.
Is that so? I mean, and part of it's got to be why they send a new letter to your new employer is, I mean, they want word to get back to your fellow coworkers,
they
your
do.
Former coworkers.
That goes that back chilling to the effect. Dissuasion thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Because even if the non-compete is technically unenforceable as written, they're trying to enforce it anyway, oftentimes.
This is interesting stuff. So when should people reach out to you, perhaps, at Siegel & Dolan? Is it, hey, I'm thinking about leaving this company?
That's the best time.
Okay.
So oftentimes someone will say, right, I'm going to leave my current employer. Here's my non-compete or my non-solicit of clients, right? Will you please tell me if it's enforceable? And here's where I want to go. This is what the company does. This is the job I had before. This is the job I want to get next. And I work through that process with them, telling them whether it's enforceable or not as to their specific situation. And I'll work with the new company and say, listen, you know, my person's really excited to work for you. Let's just talk about the non-compete, what they can do, you know, what your concerns are as an employer. But we can work through this and we can work this out.
I'd just be impressed as a boss that someone had a lawyer. Seriously, like if I had someone I wanted to hire and they came to me and they're like, oh, I'm going to have you talk to my employment lawyer. I'd be like, boy, this person's serious about what they want to do. I mean, it does add some weight in any situation to have a lawyer with you.
Well, you know what? There are ways to solve that issue and to make it work when you're transitioning jobs.
For sure. We'll do more with Patrick Dolan in just a bit. MSiegelLaw.com. MSiegelLaw.com. I cleaned my glasses and I was able to read that a little bit easier, Patrick. How do you want people to call you, by the way? What's a good phone number to reach you
at? Yeah, they can call my direct line, 312-651-4851.
Say it one more time, a little slower.
Oh, that's okay. 312-651-4851. 4851.
Okay, we're getting some other questions on the text line about non-competes, 312-981-7200, about anything related to employment law. More with Patrick after this on WGN. Patrick Dolan from Siegel and Dolan. This is a great text, Patrick. 847 says, "Wow, this is a great show. I've never listened at this time." I love that. Thank you for listening today. We appreciate that. And we're normally on from 1 to 3 on Saturdays. Sometimes that changes, though. Of course, we have Northwestern basketball. We have football. And Blackhawks, too, sometimes interferes. I believe next Saturday we're on at this time as well. Sometimes we're on Sundays. We move around a little bit. We try and keep you posted. But, yeah, that's what this show's all about. I ask a lot of dumb questions to really smart people. And we are going to continue that trend, Patrick. Actually, the 847, in addition to liking the show, said, "Isn't a non-compete over a time period, like in the financial sector, it is like 3 months?" And I think what they're saying is maybe it's 3 months from when you leave a job, you can't go get another one. Is that sometimes the addendum at the end? Or are there some that are more binding longer than that? Like, you can't work at another company for XYZ number of years.
Yeah, so non-competes are always for a specific length of time. Most are 1 or 2 years. The caveat, though, is that it has to protect a legitimate business interest. So if there's really nothing to protect for that full year, it could be just a couple of months, 3 months, 6 months, something like that. But in the agreement, you're going to get a length of time. And that's, you know, what's supposed to be enforceable.
And we should mention now there is a salary line of demarcation, right?
There is. So Illinois passed a law within the past year or two that says if you make under $75,000 a year, a non-compete cannot be enforced against you. They also passed a similar law which says if you make under $45,000 a year, you cannot have a non-solicitation be enforced against you.
Whoa, what's the difference? I don't know what that is.
So a non-solicit is you, when you leave, going to a new employer, soliciting the business from former clients. Your former employer.
Say, hey, come on over here.
Yeah, come on over. Or employees you used to work with, same thing. You can't solicit them.
Wait, that's not allowed?
It's not if you have a non-solicit. No, it's not.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So most non-
Isn't that a free speech violation?
No, not generally speaking. Yeah, no, it's an enforceable provision. And so most non-competes are coupled, actually, with a non-solicit of employees or customers/clients.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
I better look in my past, see if I've ever violated that.
But you know what?
You can't say, like, so let's just make sure we got this right. Under 45,000, cannot do that. You cannot have a non-solicit.
Non-solicit.
Okay. So if you make over 45,000, you go to somewhere else and you're like, hey, Billy, this place is great. You should come here. No good. If I was told ahead of time, I can't do that.
Yeah. If you have an enforceable non-solicit, and what companies sometimes do is slip the word hire in, so it's not just a non-solicit, but a no-hire clause, and that's even more difficult. Because solicit, you could be like, well, I didn't solicit them.
Yeah, how do you prove that?
Yeah, there was a posting, they came to the job, I had nothing to do with it.
Just because they're my roommate, just because they're my spouse and I know everything about them, I had nothing to do
solicit,
with that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's a more difficult situation if there's an actual no-hire clause, which they try to put in there, too, sometimes.
To actually restrict hiring from
You literally can't have a direct or indirect part in the hiring of somebody you used to work with when you're at a new job.
Hard to prove, but if they want to, they probably can try.
Yeah, but remember, it goes back to those cease and desist letters and that dissuasion effort.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to deal with that. You know, as a someone going from one job to another, you don't want to have to deal with your former company, frankly, intervening with your new job.
Make me feel better, Patrick. What percentage of people are like me that doesn't read every part of your agreement, doesn't read every part of the employment handbook, has very little knowledge of what happens if they leave or their rights when they leave? A lot of people are like this, right?
A lot of people are like that.
Yeah. Like 90%? Make me feel better.
Probably.
But that's something that people should take into their own, right? Like, we have access to these documents. We can talk to someone before we sign them. This is something we really have to take ownership of.
You know what? I think what happens is people are so excited with the new job, and they don't want to ruffle the feathers or negotiate or something like that with their new employer too hard about terms and conditions,
right,
et cetera, et cetera. So they just don't read it that closely for reasons that I understand. But the problem is your job ends. It's going to end.
Right. Or they read it and go, but I don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Right. But I don't want to make a big deal about that.
Mm-hmm.
But there are things to do to make your situation better going in that really don't, they're not, you know, aggressive actions or anything like that. And they will make the terms and conditions of your job better, and you'll know what your rights and obligations are when you leave. So there are certain steps that I don't think are a big deal at all that can really help you.
All right. 773 says, how do old jobs know about the new job if you don't tell them? I guess it depends on the industry and people that are common amongst different offices, et cetera.
Yeah, and I get that a lot. You know, that's exactly how. And they do know. And, you know, in your former colleague who you thought was your friend can, you know, might say this with, hey, you know, my buddy went over to this company. And they're like, oh, really? I didn't know that. Yeah. So it really, they, you know, most companies find out if you go to a competitor.
Yeah.
Say that.
That's got to be industry specific, too. I'm sure some people work in industries where you're like, how would they ever know?
Yeah,
but
yeah,
in
it
some
really
industries,
depends.
You're like, eh. Like in the media world. Everyone will know.
Everyone will know, yeah. But you're right. Some, it's just very unlikely.
Yeah, for sure.
Very unlikely.
I do want to leave time for this. We got about 3 minutes left. If I've been laid off as a result of a reduction in force, what are my rights? And so that's a specific type of layoff that you have different rights than if you were to have messed something up on your own end, right?
Yeah, so there's typically a notice obligation if it's a large group layoff that allows you more time to find a job. Okay, there's an act that protects you and gives you more time. And there are obligations that the company has with regard to benefits or maybe continued comp that are in their policies that apply to large group layoffs as opposed to just an individual leaving. So you sort of benefit oftentimes from the collective being laid off versus you just trying to negotiate your own separation agreement.
When you say you have more time to look for a job, do you mean that the company will
notice.
Pay you longer or no? Well,
yeah, they have an additional notice requirement. They can't just fire you today
okay.
or on a Friday and
in
say
mass.
This is your last day, right? They have to give you more time notice. And so during that time, you'll get paid, but you can use it to find another job.
Is the devil in the details in terms of what makes it a large force reduction? Or could it be, hey, it was two of us today, as opposed to just the one of us?
It could be a small group. It could be a small group that constitutes a reduction in force that will trigger those obligations, yes.
Okay. So, boy, that seems surprising to me, because I bet there's people out there, boy, I'm thinking of my industry, where it's a Friday and 5% of the people are let go for, hey, we got to make better payroll or whatever it is. We just can't afford you all. And they have no idea that they might be.
It could be a group layoff. Could be. Yeah, it could be a group layoff.
Is that a company by company policy, or are there state
no.
and federal?
There are laws that will determine whether your layoff constitutes a, quote, group layoff, where you will be allowed certain rights, et cetera.
So you're like this perfectly nice guy, right, Patrick? You're like very
you're nice
chill,
guy.
You're relaxing, you're very charming. And I just want to know, like, if someone just has like a question like that, like, hey, I was laid off, I have no idea. Can they just call you and,
sure.
and your firm and ask, right?
Oh, no, I'm happy to talk with them.
I think people are afraid to call a lawyer because they're like, well, the clock's going to start running.
No.
And then,
No, people call me all the time and just ask my opinion about a situation. And no, I'm just happy to help them.
And how can people call you?
My direct line is probably the best, 312-651-4851. Before we go,
please,
I want to wish my daughter Isabel a happy 21st birthday. She's our youngest, and I think her older siblings are going to take her out on the town tonight.
Oh, all right.
Whether she likes it or not.
Oh,
I think
happy
she's going.
Birthday. Isabel, you said?
Isabel, yeah.
Isabel, 21 years old. Okay, give me the number one more time.
312-651-4851.
It's msiegellaw.com. MSIEGEL law.com. You can also Google Patrick Dolan Lawyer. That's how I found the website,
yep.
too.
Yep.
Google's a really powerful tool.
Yep.
I can give you 30 seconds for this question that just came
sure.
in.
Go ahead.
Does HR protect the company or employee? 30 seconds, Patrick.
Oh, no. It's mostly the company.
Okay.
Don't be misled by that. They can be helpful, but they represent the company.
You didn't even need 30 seconds.
No.
You needed like 13 for that one.
I could have said it even longer.
I was going to say, little did you know I needed 30 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. That's great stuff. Patrick, it's great to chat with you. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Thanks, John. Thank
you.
Yeah,
for sure. That's Patrick Dolan again, msiegellaw.com. I agree with all the texters that this was an interesting show. This was a good one. We got assault weapons we chatted about, employment law. Mike Leonard had some interesting stuff. We'll do it all again next week.